Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
Here we go. 3, 2, and 1. You know, we should just start the podcast even without a 3, 2, 1. I think we do a 3, 2, 1 so we don't say anything wildly inappropriate, but that's half the point of this podcast, is wildly inappropriate. Hey, everyone, it's Calm Down, episode 75 in your playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Number one in your hearts. Hi, Aaron Andrews.
Hi, I think we should do what Brian Baumgartner, is that how you say it? Madison,
yeah.
Baumgartner said,
not Madison, Brian.
You should just start, but I do love him.
Love.
He said we should record it right when we come on, but those are all the things I don't want anybody to talk about,
yeah,
or
no,
get
exactly.
out there. It's the good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, I know you don't like attention, but I'm here to give it to you. Congratulations. Ware has moved into the NHL space. I mean, what league don't you have?
Major League Baseball. Kyle, can you get that done for me?
Kyle Thousand? Line one. Wait, I'm
do
so
my
proud
contract.
Of you. The NHL. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're very, very excited. It's getting announced Tuesday, which is after this is released, but it's cool for us. It's kind of like where it all started. I mean, my career started with the Tampa Bay Lightning, which we're going to get into a bit later. And then obviously I married somebody that has a lot to do with hockey, and hockey influenced his life. And Alyssa Green, who is our creative director and also our designer, her husband played with my husband and they work together now. So it's really cool. It was cute. We were talking about it today. And she goes, yeah, when I really sat and thought about it, I cried. I was like, that or you're exhausted from your kids.
Aww.
But it's fine. No, it's really, really cool. And that's going to come out next season, the start of next season. And can't wait for it.
Aaron, that's huge. I mean, you touch on it, but that's how you started. You know, your first job on air was covering hockey. And now you have a clothing mm-hmm. line, which will, you know, be spread throughout the league,
right,
as well as all the other leagues. So that's really, really cool. I know a little bit of your story, but I'm sure you get asked a lot, like, what your first gig was. And it was with
yeah.
your hometown team, which I think is so cool, because I know the few times I filled in for you when you were covering baseball and did your NFL assignment on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I remember my first Seahawks game covering that. It was so cool for me because it was my hometown. But like, you followed the Lightning and then they won a Stanley Cup. So walk us through that, or for the listeners that don't know, that's how you started.
I will tell you that. I'm also going to do a teaser for the end of our podcast, because I want to ask you a question about the Derby. And I know you have a great Larry David story to tell, unless you want to get into it now.
By the way, this is our podcast. We can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to do kind of a weekend catch up, and I know that one of the hot topics, and it's very unfortunate, I have friends that horse was in the Derby that said this is so bad for our sport. You know, there's talks that, what was the horse's name? That was
Bob Baffert.
Bob Baffert.
Well, all I remember, truthfully, is because as that has the gambler in me, I don't even remember the horse's name. I just know that Bob Baffert is the Tom Brady of horse racing.
Robert Kraft, yeah.
Because you never bet against him. And
uh-huh.
I should have known better. And no matter what horse Bob has in the race, whether he's a long shot or not, put your money on him. So anyways, okay. So yes, the horse who won the Derby.
Yeah, but they're now saying he tested positive. Oh, thank you, Ryan. Is it Medina? Medina Spirit? Yeah, Ryan's the best. I love the chat. The potentially tested positive.
For those of you listening, it's our producer telling us information that I should have known called Medina Spirit. You know why? Because I don't remember things that I lose. So there you go. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So potentially tested positive for steroids. I know there's another test coming out. Got to be honest, don't know the specifics, but I was dying to ask you, Carissa, for everybody that plays bets, how is that affected? But you said you didn't know, right? But I know this leads into a story that you love about betting at the Derby.
Yeah. So I do know that it just in general in gambling, like for example, like if you bet on the Astros to win the World Series, no one's
yep.
coming back and getting money from them, right? Or if
right.
you bet on a certain player to, you know, hit so many home runs and they're tested positive for PED, you don't go
yeah.
and get your money back. It is what it is. So same holds true then for horse racing. But you and I were talking before we started about when I went to the Derby a few years ago, and Larry, David and I, we went with like a group because I got Larry into horse racing because Larry needed a hobby and like something to like, you know, he's competitive, but like also is very reclusive and like doesn't like to like leave his house ever. He was like COVID before COVID, right? Like he didn't like
oh,
to go anywhere.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
And so
by
I was
the
like,
way,
dude,
I get it. I don't yeah. want to leave my house either.
I mean, now I'm that person and I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So I've went the opposite direction. But so in order to like get him to like, I don't know, get out and do things, we went to Santa Anita. So we went to the racetrack and that got him into horse racing. Then we went to Vegas. He got even more into horse racing. And so it culminated in a trip to the Derby. So we go and So he's like, how does this all work? I was like, we're going to go up to the window. You place your bets. You say, like, I want $20 to win, place, or show is first, second, third. So I want $20 to win on horse number five.
Okay.
So we go up, we place our bets, and the guy that's at the window recognizes that it's Larry. And he goes, oh my God. Like he does his, like, you know, whatever, the whole like reaction everybody like gives to Larry. And Larry can't be bothered. He's like, yeah, focus. Are you not focusing? We want this. We want this. And so finally the guy like prints off the tickets and he's like, you got him right. Are you sure you got him right? And the guy's like, yeah, I got him right. So we go, there's a lot of races leading up to the actual Derby race.
It takes forever.
Forever. So we have our tickets in hand. We're so excited for like the actual like race to happen. Horses are going around, final stretch, you know, Chariots of Fire, dun, 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 the whole thing. Our horse wins. Always Dreaming, 2017 Kentucky Derby winner. I'm like screaming, Larry's screaming. We're so excited. We won. He looks down at the ticket and he goes, we don't have the ticket. I'm like, what do you mean we don't have the ticket?
Oh my God. Right out of curb.
So at this point, there's like tickets everywhere all over the floor because from all the previous races, when people lose, they just rip them up and then throw them on the floor. He's on the ground, dirty ground, on the ground looking for the ticket. I'm like, what the hell? He's like, the guy didn't give us the ticket. So when the race is over, you go up to the window to like cash your ticket in, right? And get money. He cuts the line, Aaron. It is so like from an episode, which, you know, I don't watch the show, but you tell me this. He cuts the line. By cutting the line, Tom Brady, Big Poppy, like all these people. Big Poppy is like, you do a Big Poppy voice. And
hey, Larry, what is happening?
Yeah. So that's literally what he's saying. And Larry goes, the guy didn't give me the right ticket. So he goes up to the guy and he starts screaming at him. He's like, I knew you weren't paying attention. I knew it all along. He goes, check the tape. And I'm like, oh my, at this point, like the race is
like
over.
Like the video, the security footage, check that tape. Yeah.
He gets the manager out. The manager's like, it's going to take us a long time to check like what bets were made. Mind you, the bet was for like $20. Like it wasn't even a lot of money, but it was the principle that Larry was like, I knew he wasn't paying attention. We won. We should get our money. And he created such a scene to the point where like now everyone's filtering out of Churchill Downs and we're like standing there and I'm standing there against the wall waiting for the manager to check the tape. And so I'm like, Larry, let's just go. And he goes, no, this is ridiculous. Anyways, needless to say, we never got our money for that. But I also I lost this year on the Derby. I was so mad. But again, when in doubt, don't bet against Bob Baffert.
Hold on. So did they look at the footage?
No, because I wouldn't let him, because it would have taken forever to comb through like all the nonsense, like needle in a haystack, whatever. And I'm like, let's go. It was all just so very Larry-esque and leading up to it. And like only we would have like the ticket that didn't get printed when we were supposed to. And I was like, whatever. So yeah, that's our story for that. But we had a good time.
All of you Curb fans right now, I know you can hear it in your head.
I mean, I swear. But my favorite was Big Poppy's voice. Where he was like ready to be like, what can I do to help Larry in like his sweet little voice? Yeah.
Side tangent about Big Poppy, one of my favorite athletes ever and one of the best guys out there. But I love Poppy and he talks about how he learned to speak English from the Dominican. Mm-hmm. And I think he had said it was from television. Well, it must have been an R-rated channel because I love my man, but he says the F word, like the word the. So everything is like, hey, Poppy, like, what do you think the keys to playing against the Yankees? Well, you know, whatever the fuck you think you got to do. You like everything is like, so it's like, oh, my God. So he's probably like, yo, Larry, what the fuck? You know?
No,
like,
I guarantee it was that. Yeah. But also, that reminds me that didn't Giselle say that she learned how to speak English by listening to Boys to Men?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Because I feel like that's how I would, if I'm going to learn another language, it would for sure be music. Right? Like, wouldn't that be the easiest
what
way?
What station? Hip Hop Nation?
Well, obviously, which would then merge the two together. A lot of profanity and a good time, I guess, is what we're getting at here. So this brings me back to that discussion of when people say, are horses athletes? What do you think? Do you think horses are athletes?
I gotta be honest. I don't know how to feel about this. I don't even know how to feel about watching the Derby because I love it. I love the buildup. I love the stories about the jockeys and their families, and I'm crying and everybody, you know, mm-hmm. we're back here in Lexington, or are we in Lexington? Where are we? Louisville. And Louisville. I'm so excited. And then they're like getting whipped and stuff and I get upset. So I don't know how to feel. And
these
I don't know how
also
to feel about
taken care of, but beyond measure.
Yes.
Okay. So like mm-hmm. their I wish they had their nutritionist. I say they are athletes for this exact reason.
Too.
Bringing it back to the PED thing. There, if this is this proves true, right, that he took PEDs, well, then they're under the same rules as an athlete.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we're having, I don't know, I just feel like because what, they're not human. I mean, like they're participating in a competitive event.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's the same thing as like NASCAR when people are like, oh, NASCAR drivers aren't like athletes. The car is doing the work. I'm like, have you ever driven in a NASCAR? Because I have. And that shit is hard. We did
and
that
hold your bathroom for that long.
And That left turn, obviously. It takes, we did a NASCAR immersion. Did you ever have to do that at ESPN?
No.
Well, I had to do it. And it's like, it takes a lot of stamina.
Yeah.
To sit in that car for hours and hours and hours. Anyways, there's so much we could say about this. But that's why we have a podcast. I guess that's why we're talking about it. But good news, everybody. Two things to take away from this conversation. One, you will always keep your money, no matter if the athletes cheated or in this case, the horse yeah. athlete cheated. And remember to always check your ticket at the race before the race happens.
Keep your ticket. Have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy never gave it to us because he was distracted.
I'm dying to know where that damn ticket was.
I don't think he ever printed it, was Larry's point, because he wasn't paying attention. Larry maintained like, oh, because we had a stack of like all these tickets. And so he was like, oh, he never printed that one. Yeah.
But do you really believe that, Carissa?
Yeah. I believe that I know because I was standing there and the guy was like losing his mind and wasn't paying attention, which was Larry's point. Like, are you concentrating on the task at hand? I appreciate that you like my show and you want to talk about episode 12, but you're not paying attention to your job. And we missed out on the $20 that Larry didn't need.
And I think the best part about it is there are so many stars and athletes at the Kentucky Derby. And the one person that everybody loses their shit over is Larry David. It just is.
Yeah.
Tell the Tom Brady story in the elevator, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, okay, so anyone that's been to the Derby, there's like one nice hotel you can stay at. And I say this lovingly, it ain't like the nicest, but it's the hotel where everyone stays. Okay.
Yep.
So we get in the elevator's packed. And it's that moment where you don't know, like, should we wait for the next one? Or are we getting in? Is everyone going to be okay if we like suck it in and like, you know, everyone moves in? So Larry, who hasn't thought about any of this, he just goes into the elevator and I'm like, okay. And we turn around and all of a sudden, and so we're facing the doors and like up against the doors. And I hear this sultry, like Tabasco vanilla whiskey voice go, hello, Larry. And I was like, I turn around. And the sex pot that was Tom Brady in sunglasses and a Nick Fouquet hat. And I was like, holy shit, I've never thought this guy's hotter. And Larry goes, Tom, hi. And looks back at the elevator doors and says nothing else. And like, we walk out and like, Larry does this like shuffle. Doesn't even like, and so then like Tom comes up and like continues whatever, talking to him or whatever. But I think why everyone loves Larry is because Larry can't be bothered. Whether it's Tom Brady, Jeff Bezos,
Big
or
Poppy.
Anyone in between, he's like, did you print the ticket or not? You know?
So. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, we came into this podcast today wanting to talk about, because we get a lot of DMs about like where we started in our career and all that. And then we went off on a huge welcome to our lives tangent about Larry David. But coming up after the break, like we're going to get into this, like some of the funny stories about when we first started in the industry. And then, you know, guys, if you really make it in the industry, you get to hang out with like Larry David at the Derby. So there's that.
And take him to a hockey game. That's another story.
Yep.
So it was a circuitous route back to hockey, but we'll make the turn, the left turn in this case. We'll be back with more.
And I'm going to look up for that word really quick. Circuitous, circumference.
It's an indirect route back to the beginning.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry. Welcome back, everybody. Calm Down Podcast, for those of you tuning in late. We are all about in this, well, we get off on tangents, but we started with the intention of talking about how we got into our careers, and not because we are self-absorbed and want to talk about that, but because people actually care about how we got started. And Aaron and I, in a weird way, kind of both started in hockey, but your first job was with the Tampa Bay Lightning. How did that even come about?
Well, the one thing you and I do have in common with hockey is that we both read Hockey for Dummies, the Cliff Notes version. I'll have you tell yours in a second. Mine, you know, I'm from Tampa Bay. I had interned at my dad's TV station like for 4 years doing, working in the sports department. And this position came open as the rinkside, ice side reporter. And I was like, Dad, I don't know anything about hockey. Full disclosure, when I went to the University of Florida, I became obsessed and thought the only thing that mattered was Gator football, Gator basketball, and that was it. And I remember my dad saying to me one day, pick up a paper and read. There's more teams out there than just the Gators. So that was my come to Jesus moment that I better get my life together and start studying. Read Hockey for Dummies, still didn't know what I was talking about, went in for the job. Thank God they wanted the hometown girl that would work her ass off. But I did read it. Do you remember, like, I remember reading, you know, penalty kill, power play, and I was like, wait, what? How many guys are on the ice? What's going on?
No, legitimately, because to why she mentions that we both read it is because we laughed that I got asked, it was like my third job, and my producer, who was my college football producer and in charge of assignments.
Who was it?
Leon Schweier. Over at the Big Ten Network, and then he went to go run Versus, which is now NBC. And he goes, I need you to cover hockey. And I go, I don't know anything about hockey. He goes, you'll figure it out. So I went to Barnes & Noble, bought Hockey for Dummies. And I was like, the blue line? I was like, I didn't even know there were these lines. So the moral of the story, kids, if you don't know the sport, buy the dummy version and start reading. But you always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, right?
I did. And I told kids that I was in high school with that that's what I wanted to do. Like, it's funny. I think we talked about it in the prep for this. There was really no other option. I mean, I say it all the time and it's not a joke. I probably would have been a swashbuckler for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if it hadn't worked out. What a year this would have been. Dancer.
What is it called?
They're the swashbucklers. They're
A name?
I don't know. It's like piratey or something. But, you know, the Bucks and the swashbucklers. Yeah, I didn't really think that there was going to be any other option. And it's funny. And it's not to sound like a conceited jerk, but people are like, did you think it would get to this? And I was like, well, that was kind of the plan. It's what I thought would happen.
Yeah.
What
no, about I don't you? I don't think that's air. It's the same way that, like, if you ask athletes that are at the peak of their sport, say, like, yeah, I always wanted to be that. Like, yeah, sure, of course. It doesn't always work out. But I think that you put yourself in various positions and hope that it does. I mean, I feel the exact same way. I made a little video and I made my brother be Jay Buhner because I was from Seattle. And I was like, please let me interview you. And I used a paper towel roll and a tennis ball and I taped it together. And that was my microphone. And I was like, I need this for my resume reel. He's like, you're 11. And I'm like, well, you're 13. So stop acting too cool. And I ended up using it for my resume reel later on because, you know, like news directors, they put in those, well, we are old. They put in those DVDs for about 2 seconds. And if you don't capture their attention, then, you know, whatever. You and I also, we have a lot of parallels in our career, different but the same. And like, I feel really lucky. I never had to go work in a small market. And like, that's, I know a lot of people that have to do that. Yeah. I was willing to do that. I was willing to go to Champaign, Illinois, or wherever I needed to go. But I took the job in Fox Sports Human Resources, just wanting to like get in the door.
Yeah.
Became a production assistant. And then that turned into getting an on-air job with the Rockies was my first, like, you know, on-air job. But I also was only getting paid a PA salary and was like, I'll just do it for free and hope that it all works out. Like, you know,
that was smart of you to do that, though. That was a big like risk that you took, but it was smart of you to do because you literally did get your foot in the door and you probably worked it too in terms of like, hey, can you guys get me on TV? Like, what can I do? And it's like, I forgot when we did those listeners live, you know, talk when we just said, you never know when you're going to be called upon and you got to be ready to go. So that was so smart you did that.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I don't know, just like hoping for the best. But I remember I was working in HR during the day and I'd sneak up to highlights at night in the Fox Sports building and log tape so I could learn how to do highlights. But that was an HR violation. So I would pretend, I would tell my boss I was leaving, then get back in the elevator and go upstairs and log tapes because I wasn't technically allowed to still be there. And Randy Venowitz, shout out to Randy Venowitz, he was running the highlight department. And he's like, it's okay, I'll show you how to do this. And like, I would log tapes, whatever. But
This is like a movie.
I think, well, what is the ending? We don't know. It's a miniseries is what this is. But I think it's that idea, right, where you do whatever you need to do. So you're working with the Lightning. That goes well. They win the cup. Like, what happens?
No, that wasn't even that year. They were horrible. We had a brand new coach, John Tortorella, and they were so bad. But it was like baptism
John's
under fire.
John's not very friendly either. I remember when he was with the Rangers. He was not friendly to this girl when he was with the Rangers.
He's all business. He really is he's all business. He's friendly. He didn't want me. He didn't want me around, and I get it. I was 20.
Well, then you did a good job of making him like you.
Well, I went into his office. I was telling somebody this the other day. He didn't want me, said it wasn't a good idea. And I totally agree with him. 21, right out of college. You have the crappiest team in the NHL. They've been horrible. He comes in, you know, coaching change midseason the year before. And he's like, no, this isn't going to work. She's like on our plane, in our hotel, on our bus. Smart of him. But I went into his office one day and I just said, hi, I'm Aaron Andrews. Probably not the best idea. And I was like, I know nothing about hockey, but I'm willing to learn and listen to you. And he did. He sat there and watched film with me. My very, very first day with the Tampa Bay Lightning was September 11th. Crazy. I had to go to the rink.
That was your first day, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. It was the day I'd been looking forward to forever, going to the rink. The boys started camp that day and I'm driving and like the plane had just hit the Pentagon. Oh, and so I show up at the rink and all the boys are around the television watching. And we had a couple American boys on our team. And so like I was hearing from our producer that day was like, obviously you're just getting reaction. But that was my very, very first day with the Lightning. But I learned so much. I learned with Torts, like, you know, questions to ask. I sat next to him on the bus because, you know, like I needed attention, but he was like, you're sitting here. And I was like, okay. Aww. But it was a great relationship. Like I was super tight with him. I love him so much. But yeah, it was, I learned so much on the road. You learn, you know, have your head up. The way we started off this season that year was on a road trip. It was a 5-game road trip out west. It was in San Jose. I was at my first morning skate for our game that night. No, that's a bad word in this house. Whoops. Sorry. So I'm at morning skate. I'm doing exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I'm so excited. I'm talking to our play-by-play guy. All of a sudden he goes, look out. And he swiped the puck. It was coming right for us. It launched over the over the glass into us. He hurt his hand really bad. And everybody was like, oh my God. It was so bad that the local reporter wrote about it.
Kevin Costner jumped in front of you and took the bullet, Whitney?
Rick Peckham, I love him forever. God. Our local reporter
this
wrote about it.
This is not a face for radio, okay,
no,
folks?
This,
you
I mean,
a puck at the face. You already took a baseball to the face once.
Yes,
I mean, my God.
That would have been bad.
This is,
I would have seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good on you, Rick.
So our local writer wrote about it. My dad saw it in the paper the next day. I didn't tell him what happened. And he was like, hey, like, shut your mouth and pay attention. One more.
That's what your dad said?
Sandra. Yeah, because I was talking the whole time. He goes, you have to like watch what you're doing.
All business. He wasn't like, are you okay? He's like, pay attention, Aaron.
I could have like had it, like my whole face rearranged. And but I'm grateful. I learned so much. I learned how to drink, eat, cuss, all of it.
Amen.
Yeah, it was the best.
I love that. Well, that reminds me when you were saying that maybe I shouldn't have done this, when honesty in my case, as it was in yours, was the best policy. Because I'll tell you, I did the same thing with that job in HR.
Yeah.
I did the interview. I lied. I pretended I wanted the job in HR, the whole thing. And I walked out of there and I was like, that was a really shitty interview. I'm never going to get this job. And I was like, I have to get this job because it was the only job available in Fox Sports. So I called the guy back that I interviewed with and I said, here's the truth. I don't want to work in HR. I want to be on TV, but I'll work my ass off for you. And then I'll do the TV stuff on the side. And so I got the job. This is the moral of the story. HR. I got the job because he said I was honest and HR was all about honesty. So it was like, in the end, I mean, it ended up being literally the reason that I got a TV job, right? Was being in there.
Yeah.
So for you to have, you know, the balls to say, I don't know anything. And by the way, you know, that motivated him so much more to be like, let me help you. Because he wanted to be part of your success. And I'm sure he looks at you now and is like a proud dad as well, being like, hell yeah. So
he's always been that way with me until
awesome.
He cut my husband in PTO camp for the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's fine. I understand everything happens for a reason. So yes, honesty worked well for you there. Honesty worked well for me with the Lightning. But then I got hired It was after Christmas. The Lightning weren't done with their season, but Turner Sports came calling, and I didn't even have an agent yet. They came calling. They saw me doing the Lightning game, and they were national, obviously, at the time with the Braves broadcast. Mm-hmm. And Skip Carey, Joe Simpson were doing the games, and they needed someone in their studio. I didn't know shit about baseball. I knew the Red Sox. I knew they broke my dad's heart every year. I knew, boo, mm-hmm. the Yankees, George Steinbrenner, blah, blah, blah. But I remember I was in Ottawa. I was a fabulous hotel. It was like very castle-y.
As they all are in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Very cold that day. And my dad just said to me, look, he got his agent on the phone and said, I think you got to take this job, kiddo. He's like, this is national. This is your first year calling right away. I think you can do this. Never hosted a studio before, never talked about baseball. I was like, okay, let's go. Yep. I talked to the PR guy that day from the Lightning. We got back on the plane and he said, well, you got to go tell Tort. I went up to the front of the plane and Tort said to me, I heard you got a job offer. And aww. I said, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you. And it was national television. He said, look, if it doesn't work out, you can always come back here to the Tampa Bay Lightning, making your $40,000 a year, living amen. With your parents. Hell yeah. It was the time of my life.
I do what you got to do, sister. By the way, I thought I was crushing it making $35,000 a year. I bought a used Range Rover, put 22-inch chrome rims on them, and had no money left to pay rent. But I was like, I am crushing life. Right now,
I had my stick shift Jetta that I was driving into like the Tampa Bay Lightning arena next to, you know, the guys' Hummers and stuff. And I was like, I'm driving a stick shift. Hey, anyways, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't care. I thought it was fabulous. So I ended up going to Turner. I signed a 2-year deal. It was the worst experience of my life. I was so horrible on television. I blanked out so many times. I mispronounced so many names. Anyone out there that shit's going bad for them in their job or they're worried about TV, this happened. To me, I was awful. I used to go visit my parents all the time, cry to my dad, just say like, I'm out here on an island. I'm doing horrible. I feel like I took this job and I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. And they didn't re-sign me. They let my contract run out, which Turner they should have.
Okay.
Turner didn't. I will say, I don't think I was put in the best position to shine. I feel like whatever. And I know that because when my contract ran out, Charles Barkley had said to me afterwards, he goes, I walked into those executive office and I was like, she is going to make you look so bad. That was one of the biggest mistakes.
Aww,
and I'm like,
if
Sir Charles is saying that about me, I love him so much. And
aww.
He's been wonderful in my career too. But it was the best thing that happened to me. I also kind of wonder like, you know, Aaron Rodgers' chip on the shoulder, if that's always something maybe, and I never thought about it until now, maybe motivated me because I sucked and it pissed me off.
Knowing you as well as I think I know you, I know for a fact that's what motivated you because you don't you don't want to fail ever. And if you fail, then you're going to come back 10 times harder because that's who you are and you're competitive and you'll do whatever it takes to win. But a lot of this also has to do with humility. And for you guys just joining us, maybe you came into the podcast late. This isn't like a big, like, you know, Aaron and Carissa say how great they are. I think it's more of a how we got to where we are, how we, again, with a little, I'd like to believe a lot of humility and grace, but also like still wanting to be great. You know, talked about, I had to work that boxing event last week. I don't know shit about boxing, but to have the ability to say like, I don't know, but I will ensure that I do the best that I can. And as long as employers keep giving us the opportunity, but, I love that story. I love the stories. And by the way, so does America. America loves a fall from grace redemption story and get back on the horse. In this case, always dreaming. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah. There's three nightmares I always have when I do a game. One is that all my hair extensions, not in right now, will fall out.
I can't believe that's all your real hair.
Well, you know, you that's wake great. Up and they're all out on the pillow and you're in New Orleans and there's nothing you can do about it. Or I wake up and my two front teeth fell out. Weird. Or I'm put in a situation and I absolutely blank out. Or I'm at the game and I didn't know I was supposed to be covering the game and I just don't know what to do. So yeah, I feel like that's how I kind of felt at Turner, not with my two front teeth, but not knowing what to do because I just sucked. I called one time, and I don't know if I've talked about this, they had just painted the studio so bad and it was like I was sucking in fumes. I threw it back to Turner Field and I said, now let's send it back to Skip Simpson and Joe Carey. And I just was like, I fucking quit. Like, I'm so bad at this.
By the way, this sounds like there's a lawsuit on your hand. Was that asbestos?
Great point.
What? You know what? My husband's a lawyer. We'll get him downstairs to survey this case. We're taking a quick break. It's the Calm Down Podcast. We will not calm down about the highs and lows of our career. Plenty more where that came from right after this. trying to ensure that Charles Barkley is on the NHL coverage.
To get him on this podcast.
Please. I didn't know that Charles Barkley was such a huge hockey fan.
Loves hockey. He just appreciates competition. I know from his time in Arizona, he was big with the Coyotes. He also, my husband and I saw, he was on Hockey Night in Canada one night. He did a whole thing from there. I think he just really appreciates how, not violent, but how hard they play. He loves the competition.
Tough. Yeah, I love it.
He's the best.
We're talking about our career highs and lows, I think is how we're summing all this up. And it was the idea that Aaron got let go from Turner and Charles said they'll regret it. So what happened after Turner? You end up at ESPN. How?
I end up at ESPN. I know I was let go. The Thrashers, God love them, still in Atlanta at the time. And the NHL playoffs were about to get underway. The Tampa Bay Lightning, blast from the past, were supposed to do very well in the playoffs. So I thought, okay, I got him, you know, let's go back to where it all began. I knew ESPN was in town covering a Thrashers game. I said, what'll they do after the game? Go back to the hotel and get some drinks. Weird story of our lives. So I went to the hotel after the game and kind of waited for the crew acted like, oh, hey, I just, I love drinks
doing
at
here?
The Sheraton. It's my favorite. So showed up and I just kind of said, hey, guys, secret squirrel, I've been let go by Turner and I'm interested in getting involved in the NHL postseason coverage. And they said, hey, you should talk to this guy and maybe he'll give you a chance. I signed a 3-month tryout and 2 weeks later, I started NHL postseason coverage. My very first game was the Lightning hosting the New York Islanders. Rick DiPietro got the win. I wasn't too happy about it, but I didn't look like I cared because I was just so excited.
Neutral.
And from there, I was. Went to the Western Conference, covered that. And then when it was all said and done, those Tampa Bay Lightning, they were in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Calgary Flames. And I got to cover it. And I got to you know, do the game. My mom and dad came to game 7 of that series. They were center ice. The Lightning won. I was on the ice with all my boys in the Ann Taylor sweater that we've talked so much about. You know what? Shout out to Ann Taylor. They heard that little bit we did with the Calm Down podcast. They sent me a box of goods and said,
you
we
stop
thought
it
you'd
right
like
now.
To freshen up your closet, Ann Taylor.
Stop it.
Cute.
And no E. Taylor. That's right. Oh, that's so sweet. I wish BB was still around so I could get a box of refreshed goods from BB.
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Well, BB executives, if you're listening, I love the orange ruffle tops.
Not to be confused with Bebe, Moira.
Bebe. Hey, Bebe.
But yeah, so from there, I signed an 8-year deal. Well, didn't sign an 8-year deal. I was at ESPN for 8 years and
Holy shit. Aaron, okay, a few things we need to dissect here. One, fucking ballsy. I love the move of going to the hotel because,
listen,
I'm sorry, where are we going to do? We're going to talk shop. By the way, men sit and do that shit all the time. Why can't you? Smart on ya. Also,
that was like you getting the HR job with Fox. That was ballsy too. Well, sometimes you just got to put it out there, man.
Got to make moves. Okay. And then the other part of that is how cool is it that you're, again, don't burn bridges, people. Don't burn bridges. Your relationship with that organization, with the Lightning, and how it all came back. And look, as we know, and you specifically, because you're still on the sidelines and like getting information first and foremost from these guys, it's a relationship business. So for you to have access to those guys and they're going to tell you things because they trust you. And this is the other thing too, that's so hard at the beginning of your career is that you have to earn that respect and you have to earn that seat at the table, right? And so for you to be able to use that relationship and then see it come. We started our podcast with the word circuitous, but like it all came back to where it started for you, which is so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
It was awesome because those boys that won that cup that year, they saw me come in like the total asshole that I was with the Lightning, where we're on the commercial jet you know, but it's our charter. It's like a Delta commercial jet and the team has the whole thing. And here I am, the a-hole, and I bring the rolling suitcase, the El Grande style, and try to fit it up overhead in front of all these like young, good-looking NHL players. And I'm like, asshole, line one. And then to where I come back holding the ESPN microphone and doing the Stanley Cup finals. And they're like, EA. And I'm like, I know, this is so cool.
That's
and they're like,
so
we'll give you stuff. We'll give you gossip. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Yeah, it was really, really
cool.
At
least you were allowed on the charter. There was a certain manager, Clint Hurdle, with the Colorado Rockies, that he was the manager, and he wouldn't let me on the charter because I was a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm not bitter. Don't be bitter. Be better.
That's right.
There was lots of, you know, roadblocks in that situation. So I, you know, what's the line from The Sweetest Thing? I haul my ass up this street with, you know, lugging her heels. Cameron Diaz in that.
Yes.
That's that moment of I, you know, jumped on connecting flights from Frontier Airlines, Spirit Airlines, all the things on commercial flights when I first started working for the Rockies to cover games for them.
And they didn't let you on the plane?
No. I'm cool.
I mean, most now people they don't.
Most people want to go to HR with that complaint. You know what I did? I said, you know what? I'm happy to be here and I'm going to be on a jet in first class with my contract soon enough. No, I'm just kidding. I remember
Delta
how many years
Sky
we
miles.
Had to schlep it around. I mean, and that's the other thing too, where I would caution when people like think like, oh, you guys act like it's so hard with your car service and your first class.
Oh, no.
Bitch, I worked real hard 13 years into this thing to get a first class seat. And I am so appreciative of my position to the point where it's like, if I have to take, you know, I worked that game in Cleveland this by this way. When I say work that game, I did the GMC tailgate with feeding dogs and they wanted nothing to do with me.
You did.
While you're working the game and getting the Miles Garrett story, I'm feeding Rottweilers in the back of the GMC truck and there were no seats available. So I sat in the back of the plane with Jillian in 31A and I was happy as a clam. Never be too big for 31A.
Listen, those drinks tasted good. Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Before? Yeah.
We had a lot of cocktails. Yeah, because came working that game that was like very stressful.
I know. It was so dramatic. No, you're right. I mean, again, people, this is not to toot our own horn, but the stories, and we'll talk about them on another podcast, the stories from the road.
Yeah, let's do that. If you guys care.
I hope you do. But no, it's not. There are times, I mean, I drove myself on icy roads in Wisconsin coming from Florida in a small, you know, four-door car crying on the side of the road to my dad, like, I can't drive in this. And he's like, what are you doing driving in this? I'm like, I'm trying to get to Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, actually, so if you guys do care about our road woes, DM
or
us
care
or,
at all.
Or send up a smoke signal and we'll get into all of that because there's some doozies from all the years that we've spent on the road and then you continue to be on the road. I'm so impressed that you still are a road warrior. I don't have it in me anymore. I'm like studio warm with a blanket and you're still in the conditions, but you love it. Why do you love the sidelines so much?
I love the game. I love the bright lights, as cheesy as that sounds. I love the noise. I mean, this year was really hard because we didn't have any of that and we just felt so far away. I love standing there when Sean Payton is lighting up the official and I'm like listening to what he's saying and going, oh my God. I love the days when I was covering basketball, you know, college basketball, and Calipari would let me in a huddle for a Kentucky game and he'd look up at me and say, hey, Aaron, come listen to this. This is going to be good. I mean, I love that shit. It's awesome. Like, I love, you know, I used to love doing post-game interviews with him and I would take one of those Listerine like tablets really quick and he goes, my breath is terrible. Give me some of that. I love that connection.
No,
you know?
It's true because it all comes back to relationships.
Yeah.
I miss that a little bit. And that's where it's like, I like doing interviews when, you know, during the season, especially, you know, this year excluded, but in previous years where you can go out and, you know, those relationships are so important. And, you know, I think that that's what it's all about is this is a job that we've always both wanted to do. We're lucky enough to still be doing it. And goddamn it, if you put me back in 31A, I will have a smile on my face every time because this is a great gig. And also,
I will too.
I am well aware that this thing only will last as long as they'll, you know, keep us employed. So yeah, it's definitely been fun to go on this journey.
Yeah.
You know,
you, I was thinking you were talking about those interviews, and this is very current right now, but you just did a sit down with Devonte Adams. How much do you wish that that was this week so you could ask him some questions?
I know.
Mean, and now what is happening?
The producer brain in me is thinking, oh my God, how much can we even use of this interview? Because so much of it, and we'll be able to cut it together or whatever, you know, and do voiceover stuff to sort of marry the conversation. But, you know, a lot of that interview was about how when he, you know, got drafted, and like he was saying that Aaron's really bad about responding to texts and calling and that kind of stuff. And so he finally got him on the phone. And
you don't
then Aaron
say.
Was, yeah, right. Aaron was like really receptive and was like, great. But he's like, man, that guy's hard to get on the phone. And so I finally got him on the phone and whatever. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of headlines in the news. Tim Tebow back with the Jaguars. That's where my calm down award's going this week.
Okay, let's hear it, sister.
I love me some Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow has always been lovely to me. I got nothing against Tim Tebow and what he stands for. But my calm down award is this. Tim, you come with not just some baggage. You come with an Aaron Andrews El Grande suitcase in the overhead. And guess what? We need to gate check that thing. Because you're not just Tim Tebow, the football player. You're Tim Tebow, all the other things. So when you come into that locker room with a new organization, and by the way, this is Urban Meyer, who we love, is
second dad of mine.
I know that Tim has to make the team, and there's still a lot of, you know, things that have to happen for him to be on that roster. I just am like, What are we doing? Like, I'm all about following your dreams, but like, you followed your dreams. And by the way, they turned out really well for you. What are we still doing? So please just calm down and like, let other people, like that day that someone taps me on the shoulder and they're like, Carissa, you're done with this gig. We're over you. I'm not going to keep showing up to the studios and being like, hey, it's me. I'm still trying to get that
like George Costanza.
Yeah. It's like, lick the envelopes and RIP, you know? So anyways, calm down.
I have a question about the Tim Tebow thing. And I know you said Colin had a great take on this and I want to go listen to it after. You said you know all the, what is it, the storylines or the hype surrounding Tebow when he's around. And I get it. I went to the University of Florida. Jacksonville isn't LA. It's like 30, 40 minutes away. It's 2021. Are we still doing that? I feel like, no offense, this is Tom Brady's league. Like, you know, like, I don't feel like, look what happened when that Tebow stuff came out. Like, he may or may not have had a private workout with the Jags. And then it was like, boom, Aaron Rodgers is unhappy. And it was like, smell you later, 15. Here we go, 12.
Right.
So is it still all that hype?
I don't know.
I don't know if it is.
I don't know if it is either. And this is not an indictment. And I'm not just hedging my calm down award. But I'm just saying, like, there comes a time and there's various chapters. And I feel like, you know, and I'm putting it on myself too. This career is going to come to a close at some point, hopefully not for a while, but when it does, I'll go out gracefully and do something else. And you can, by the way, you can still stay in the sport. You're still a broadcaster. I don't know. I just feel like, let's give somebody else the headlines, you know? And I just don't, what I don't want is it to even be a conversation if that quarterback position is in question. So
yeah.
Anyways,
you know what's going to be awkward when you have to do that sit down interview week two with Tim Tebow.
I'm going to pull this up and say, I told you to calm down. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to be the pundit, and I doubt that Tim Tebow will be motivated by my calm down award, but I also need to be a contrarian. I'm not going to just like fall in line. Everyone loves Jennifer Lopez. I don't love Jennifer Lopez. Calm down, Jennifer Lopez.
What don't you like about her?
She was mean to me. She was so mean to me when I tried to interview her when I was at Extra. She was mean to me. It's like the line in Pretty Woman. They were mean to me. Who was mean to you? The woman at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lopez was the Rodeo Drive sales associate. And I was Julia Roberts, not the prostitute part, but the person who had the money to spend at Rodeo Drive. And nobody would help me. I've got all of this and no dress for dinner tonight.
Hold on one second. Howie, daddy wants you. You got to go pee pee. We don't need a stain on the carpet. Take us through it. What happened with Extra? What happened? You have all this.
I was working at Extra and there was rumors that she was back together with her boyfriend at the time, who was Casper or whatever. And the friendly ghost. He was friendly. Mm-hmm. And I saw them backstage at a Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. And I had to ask her about it because my job as an entertainment reporter was to report on what was happening, which is, you know, whatever in this particular case, someone's personal
life.
You
had microphone in hand. It's not like you were like, you just shot the shit like that. Okay.
No, microphone in hand. And I said, I try to say it in a nice way and like be like kind of cheeky about it. I'm like, oh, congratulations. It looks like everything's going well with you and your man. And she stepped out of frame and she said, not cool to me. And I was like, okay, well, that's what she goes, not cool. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to do my job, which is in this particular case, entertainment is reporting on your personal life. We praise you when your personal life's going well. We also have to ask about it when it's not going well. It's part of the job. I didn't like that part of the job. It's probably why I'm not doing it full time anymore. But like, I don't care who you're dating. But if I see, I get in trouble if I go back and don't ask you the question. So J-Lo, calm down.
I think what's interesting about this whole Alex Rodriguez, Ben Affleck thing, and listen, I'm
team
Ben
Affleck. Are they dating? Are they not dating?
Who cares? I can get behind it. Mm-hmm. But I loved Ben. I want Ben, you know, to be happy. But here's my thing. I mean, everybody's missing this part. Yankees, looks like the Red Sox are winning. You know, they're ahead. Like he's that's what I think about.
I don't know.
My calm down award is my husband who's wearing his dress shoes because he's on his way to the last home game of the Kings. And it sounds like that insurance commercial where the cloggers have moved in upstairs. I mean, listen, why are you stomping around? And we've discussed this before. It's like King Kong is up there.
He's very muscular, Jared.
My God. Here comes this. I mean, this guy singing in the rain, Fred Astaire tap dance.
Did you ever live in an apartment where there was someone above you that wore high heels?
No, I lived in an apartment in New York. You know where my apartment was. Lived up there and was very loud. I'll leave it at that.
Right. I do know about that. I just didn't know because I've definitely lived in my fair share of apartments and I am always cognizant of not wearing high heels because of that exact thing.
Yeah.
So annoying.
So annoying. Get it together. And by the way,
What did you say?
Just, you know, I'm thinking back to what I used to have to listen to through those walls and I was like, calm down. It's not that good. It wasn't anybody I dated, but I'm just saying, I felt like we were putting on a show. You know what I mean? It's never that good. Like, ugh, relax. Calm down. You're speechless. Hey, if you want to be speechless, make sure you check out our IG. It wasn't my husband, by the way. It was in New York City. Make sure you check out our IG, the Calm Down Podcast, or at Calm Down Podcast, and tell us who you'd like to give Calm Down Awards to. And I was no
one. I can't wait to get an email from Jennifer Lopez's and Tim Tebow's PR team. Peace.
Bye, babe. I love you. What kind of dress shoes are you wearing? Because you can hear them through the microphone. Come here. I'm kidding. I love you so much. I love your dress shoes.
Look at this guy coming in hot.
Literally. Are they loud? Were you breaking them in or?
That's my golf shoes.
Oh, those are your golf shoes. Were you tap dancing upstairs?
This guy was.
Oh, okay. I love you. I'll call you later. Okay. Bye.
Four.
Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.